My scripture reading is in 1 John 4, starting at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God and God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have the confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these wonderful words, these words of love. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless all that are here, bless their families, their loved ones. Bless Brother Allen and Raina and their family, and wherever they're meeting, be with them. Let your Holy Spirit lead and guide. And be with Nathaniel and Peggy, the other ones that are not here, Lord. Let them feel your rest and your peace right now on this blessed Holy Sabbath day. And in Yeshua's name, we ask all these things, and amen. Today, my message is entitled, Love and Fear. And we might think about these two words, and they are very prevalent throughout all of God's Word. What is the appropriate thinking on love and fear? What does the Bible really teach us to believe and hold on to concerning love and fear? What about the love and fear of God? Should both be prevalent? Love and fear, both of God? What about love and fear of man? Is that appropriate? Both love and then at times and under specific circumstances, fear of man. When we think about love and fear, we want to see exactly what the Word of God says about these two, and perhaps how they relate to each other. Love causes action. Love don't maybe sound like initially an action word, but love is action. And love as I've understood it through the years, and to me it's as good an explanation or definition of that word as any that I know, love is the outgoing concern that a person has, that you have, for others. Love is an outgoing concern for others. It may be debatable, but love never gives up or gives in. It never quits. It never dies. The Word of God and my scripture reading to you today let us know more than once that God is love. God is love. He's always there for us. He always cares. He is always concerned about everything that goes on in our life. And He's concerned about what life brings to each one of us. And earlier in the service, in our Torah study, Bob happened to grab a big portion of my message to you, or a relatively considerable portion of my message, when he addressed these particular scriptures that lets us know that we will never be out of His care. We will never be out of the care of Yahweh and Yeshua for us, or separated from their love for us. Let's look at Romans 8 and starting at the 35th verse. Let's turn to our Bibles. Romans 8. And 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? What can separate us from the love that Yeshua and Yahweh has for us? Will being tried, tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. And here's very pointedly, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. What can separate you from the love that God has for you? Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Bob pretty well hit every bit of that. But this is speaking of love. And we would expand to say love in the relationship of fear. And whether or not love can ever get between or separate us, or anything can separate us from the love of God. And of course, it names out all these things, and none of them can come between us and the love of God. Let's look at 1 John 5 13, 14, and 15. Did you know that God loves us to the point that as one of His children, He always hears our prayers? He always is in tune with our life and with us. He always hears and sees what concerns us. What concerns us concerns Him. And He hears our prayers and requests to Him. 1 John 5 and 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Remember how we were talking about how do you know when you're saved? How do you know salvation has come to you? These words are letting you know that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before Him that if, I love those little words, if, because it qualifies what is said before and after, if or but. This is the confidence we have before Him that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Isn't that clear? And isn't that wonderful? Our prayers are not directed toward deaf ears or ears that don't have understanding. It's directed toward God, and He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which He asked, which we have asked from Him. But you know, it also qualifies that too. You have to have prayers that are the right kind of prayers, that are not just for materialistic things. It has to be right prayers. We spoke a little bit about love. And you want to primarily remember God is love. The Word of God lets us know clearly of that regard. But when we talk about and consider that on the opposite side of love can be that big word, four-letter word, just like love is a four-letter word, fear is a four-letter word. And fear, just as love, is very, very common in all of our lives. Fear can happen to any and all, and it does. And how do you respond? How do you deal with fear when it comes to you? Who you think it is that puts fear on you? Who you think it is that causes fear to be prevalent at a particular moment in time? You think fear comes from God? Rare instances it might, but fear, the wrong kind of fear, comes from the devil. Fear paralyzes, and paralyzes means literally inaction. It stops. Nothing good is said, nothing good is done, nothing is accomplished when we become so full of fear that it is prevalent. It dominates. It can dominate. Just as love can dominate, fear can dominate. And I think all have been subject to that and recognized it in their life. But how do we cope with it? How do we deal with it? How does God want us to look at it? When love enters, fear leaves. When love enters, fear flees. When love enters, action starts. Fear might paralyze momentarily, but when your thoughts turn to God and His love and concern for you, then fear has to flee. When love enters, action starts. When love enters, anything good can be accomplished by trust and faith in Yahweh. What is the love of God? Have you ever wondered that? God is love. He wants the best for you. He cares and is very concerned about you. But what's the answer to the question, what is the love of God? Let's go to 1 John 5, and let's start at the first verse. 1 John 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. Now listen to this. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. Look here. What is the love of God? Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And listen to this next part. Contrary to what mainstream Christianity and its ministers would emphasize to you about the commandments of God, and His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments brings truth to you. His commandments brings instruction to you, brings light to you. His commandments are for your best good, and you please Him immensely when you obey them and show your respect and love for Him by loving His royal law. Let's go to 1 Peter 2 and 17. 1 Peter 2 and 17. Honor. There's some good words in this one verse here. Notice these words. Honor all people. That's telling me respect all people. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Let them prove their self to you. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Who is the brotherhood? It's the brothers and sisters that have like faith and trust in God and worship together. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Who all else should we fear? It only says the one thing there. Doesn't say fear man as a common principle. Fear God. And then it closes with another honor the king. Give respect to those that God has put over you, put in charge of whatever, including your government. Honor the king. Let's look at Philippians 2 and 12. And remember, we're trying to get the relationship between love and fear. And when one perhaps may be secondary to the other. And getting some kind of a perspective of love and fear for God and love and fear for man. 1 Peter 2 and 17. Excuse me. Philippians 2 and 12. Let's go there, Dawson. Philippians 2 and 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear. We're learning about fear and when it's appropriate and when it's right to have a degree of fear. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I'd like to look now at 1 Peter 1 and 17. 1 Peter 1, 17. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. Conduct yourself in fear. That means in fear of God or the consequences of disobedience. Conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth so that God will judge you worthy in your obedience to His laws and His commands over your lifespan. Let's look at 1 John 4 and 18. 1 John 4 and 18. And here we repeat part of my scripture reading to you, but it's something that I want you to remember concerning love and fear. There is no fear in love. Every one of these things is pointedly getting across good points to us. If you have the right kind of love for God and for your fellow man, for your church, and your faith, the right kind of love, there's not going to be fear. It can't be present. When you have the right degree of love, fear has to leave. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Revelation 11 and 18. Let's see what it says relevant to this message to you today. Revelation 11, 18. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroys the earth. Sounds like the end of time to me. Sounds like a day of judgment to me. It's talking about destroying those who destroy the earth. Let's look at the very first part of that again. Very first part. And the nations were enraged. This is the end time. This is when times, a lot of things have happened just before this. But it comes to this point, and it says, the nations of the earth were enraged, and your wrath came. And the time came for the dead to be judged, and to reward your bondservants. Be really careful to think about the time, the end. The nations being obviously very fearful. That's what the word enraged means to me. Fear that comes to such a degree that anger comes forth and rage. The nations were enraged. Let's look at Revelation 15 and 4. Revelation 15 and 4. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, and all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. That sounds quite different from the verse that I just got through reading to you of the point in which the end come, judgment, and the nations being enraged. And this is speaking of a time when the nations will come and worship before you. Obviously, the same end time. It says, for your righteous acts have been revealed or recognized. Now, in conclusion, let's go to Zechariah 14 and 16. In this same regard of these scriptures and the nations and their reaction at this end time. Zechariah 14 and 16. Then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. Do you see how love contrasts with fear? And how the nations at the end time had a point in time in which they were enraged. And then later on a point in time in which any of the nations that are left will come together to worship the King on one of His festival days, the Festival of Tabernacles or of Booths. Fear paralyzes. Love acts. God is love. He wants us to have love to Him and our brothers and sisters. He wants us to have love and recognition to Him for all that He does and brings to us. And He certainly wants us to love His royal law, His Ten Commandments, including remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This day that we are meeting right now, we're meeting on His blessed holy Sabbath, the one and only seventh day of the week, and each and every seventh day. We are to come together and recognize Him in love and respect for Him and for that which He says is holy and sanctifies and sets apart as holy. If you would you stand with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this blessed Sabbath and each one that's here. Heavenly Father, we ask Your blessings on their lives. Heavenly Father, have them be recognition of those times that they need to rely on You fully. And Heavenly Father, let fear go out of their lives and love prevail. Heavenly Father, bless these words. Let them really be thought of in the next few days and be helpful as You would have. And in Yeshua's name, we ask all these things and amen. And I'd like for us to read the blessing together. Let's read. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. June, would you say the blessing for our food today?